This TFMR podcast is brought to you by your friends at JM Bullion. Visit jmbullion.com for all your gold and silver bullion needs. Well, greetings out there to everyone at TFMR. It is 12:46 Eastern Daylight Time on Thursday, March the 12th. This qualifies as a Thursday conversation. And the guest that I thought we'd have this week was really, I think, the most qualified person I could find to talk about this stuff. And that's my old friend, Denver Dave Kranzler, who many of you know through his website, Investment Research Dynamics, also through the Mining Stock Journal, the Short Sellers Journal, his fantastic services that he offers there. But, you know, today is about the extraordinary times that we're currently living through. And I thought, well, let's talk to Dave and see what he thinks. So, Dave, my friend, thank you for carving out some time.
Hey, anytime, Craig. I love chatting with you. We always have a good time. But I'm assuming Jamie Dimon turned down your invitation to talk about what's going on.
If that old bastard's heart is so stressed that it basically exploded on him last week, there might be more underlying stress in the financial system than we're giving, you know, than we're making note. And we'll get to that in a second. But before I start, because, you know, a lot of folks probably know you or they've heard you before or something like that. When I say you're the most qualified person I know to talk about some of the stuff I want to talk about, it's because of your background. So explain to everybody why I would even consider you the most qualified person I would know in the sector.
I don't know. Maybe just because I'm an old man and I've been doing this since 1985.
That's true. But again, in the corporate finance, corporate debt, trading bonds, I mean, you know a little bit about this stuff.
Sure, right. I mean, you know, after college, I actually did a two-year analyst stint at Goldman. And back then, the next move was to go to business school. I was having too much fun in New York City, so I worked for another 2 years at a small leverage buyout shop. And this was in the Drexel era. And then after business school, when I got out in 91, everyone thought the junk bond market was dead. And I think there was maybe two or three of us from top 10 business schools that ended up going into high yield. And I think I was the only one who went into high yield sales and trading. So, you know, I did that for 9 years. And, you know, I got to sort of see how this stuff works from the inside at Bankers Trust. And you know, Bankers Trust was one of the first firms to get nailed for derivatives indiscretions, let's call it.
Yep.
But, you know, I saw firsthand how corrupt this stuff can be. And that was back then when the regulators and the people at the firm who were supposed to be the risk management people and compliance people still did their jobs. I mean, I left in 2000 to move back out to Denver. And essentially, it's like the Wild West. I mean, there is no regulation on Wall Street now. And every time there's a blow up that affects a bank, the Fed comes along and bails it out. And then the taxpayer ends up getting the bill.
This, I think, has a direct impact on what we're seeing this very minute, you know, and have been seeing now for the last couple of weeks. And that's why I thought this would be valuable to talk about this today, Dave. Let's start with your, I guess we'll call it your current area of expertise, because the Mining Stock Journal, and because you run a fund of mining shares and of bullion. You know, I think you, me, probably everybody on my site that even owns one mining company and has seen what has happened in the last, well, even just this week, because we bounced back, you know, pretty well last week. But here in the first 3 or 4 days this week, this has just been unbelievable what has happened. I mean, we all sit in hindsight and go, damn, I sure wish I'd sold everything a week ago or put on some hedges. Just talk about what you're doing, what you're thinking, and your thoughts going forward. And then please just kind of segue that into why do you think it's as bad as it is?
Sure, Craig. I mean, I was working, you know, and I goofed around in the market during the 1987 stock crash. And then obviously in 1999, 2000, and then we had just started our fund in June of 2008.
Great timing.
You know, right before the final leg down in the precious metals market, and right before everything really started to fall apart. I mean, obviously back then, the market started heading south in, I don't know, October 2007 or something. Yeah. But we haven't, I mean, when you look at this, like 87, you know, it was a 25%. I think it might have closed down, the Dow might have closed down 22% or 23% on the day, I forget. Yeah. It all happened in one day. You know, and this, now it's been, what, about 2.5 weeks where, you know, the Dow would be down 1,000, then up 1,000, then, you know, we had this two-way volatility. And for the last 3 or 4 days, I mean, you know, the Dow's down 9% again right now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we've never just seen it's like a roaring river going downhill, and it seems to be nonstop. So you're like, what the heck is going to stop this? And in terms of how it connects to the mining shares and gold and silver, I mean, we're at a point right now where anyone, like any of these hedge funds who are sitting on long positions where they can actually sell them to raise liquidity and hold off margin calls and hold off hitting the wall, they're just dumping anything out there that has a bid, and gold contracts happens to be one of the things that they have on their, you know, in their holdings that has a bid right now. And that's why I think, you know, as the stock market goes down, these hedge funds get margin calls and they have to just keep selling, you know. And I'm sure the ones that are, you know, committed to the ideas behind why you would want to own gold. Now, I don't know why they'd want to own paper gold as opposed to actually taking delivery of physical gold. But,
right.
You know, to me, it's desperation selling. And honestly, I mean, yeah, I really wish I had dumped our whole portfolio. We had hedges on some of our, you know, a portion of our mining stock exposure through, what's today, Thursday. We might have taken them off Tuesday morning or something, because I was thinking that we would start to see a flight to safety bid in, mm-hmm. in gold, like we saw in October 2008. You know, the stock market was going straight down, the precious metal sector was going straight down, and then all of a sudden a bid surfaced for gold and silver, and then the mining stocks followed. And I thought that we would see that, but the fact that we haven't seen it yet tells me that this is way worse than any of us can fathom. And I honestly, Craig, I'd be surprised if anyone could sit down and tell you they know with confidence what's going on, other than that there's a massive liquidity problem going on. And it has nothing to do with the repo market seizing up.
Let's talk about it, because that's on my mind. I'm also wondering how much this, I mean, you remember the old adage about the wall of worry, or the market hates uncertainty, or whatever? There's no certainty. I mean, this is the lowest level of certainty I can ever remember in 30 years. Because, you know, it's not like we can all look at the charts or the COT reports or, you know, what the Fed did during the Spanish flu 100 years ago, you know? And we're all just kind of flying blind. I think that's because it's such an unbelievable level of uncertainty. People are dumping everything. That I'm sure kind of plays into it. But what I want to get to is what that first point, I guess, really, that you made, is that, I mean, yeah, the repo thing was a sign of, you know, part of this problem beginning back in September and October. But maybe now, I mean, this is way, way worse, that this general lack of liquidity is really, I don't know what the right term is, spiraling out of control. Help me out with that.
Completely out of control. There's no question about that. And I mean, you look at the Fed increased the repo facility. Was it, I think, Monday or Tuesday? It took it up by 50%, the overnight repo, and then took it up again yesterday, and then took it up again today. So, I mean, it tells you the Fed doesn't understand the scope of the problem. I don't think they understood the scope of they clearly didn't understand the scope of the problem in September, because now I know they were idiots if they believed the story that they were telling us. Oh, short-term corporate tax liquidity, blah, blah,
right.
blah. You know, either they're idiots or they think everyone who watches what they do are idiots to think that anyone would believe that. So, I mean, the basic problem is you've got hedge funds and banks that fund themselves with cheap overnight liquidity. And then they take that capital and they throw it into higher yielding risky assets, and they don't think about the fact that what happens if I can't sell this one day? Well, I think that's kind of what we saw starting to happen. So you've got a mismatch in your funding profile. You're funding yourself with highly liquid collateralized overnight money that you got to return every day, or the next day, and you're taking that and you're leveraging it up and putting it into subprime garbage that, yeah, it pays a nice high fat coupon or rate of return while everything's working and you've got, continuously functioning markets and the stock market's going only one way, which is up. But what happens when you start to get some hiccups? What happens when the underlying assets that you're invested in stop performing? They stop, the people who are on the hook for those assets, who took out those loans, stop making loan payments. And I think that whole thing is just snowballed. And then the leverage that's embedded into the system just makes it 10 times worse. Again, I mean, that's what I think is going on here, but I honestly don't think there's anyone that could tell you exactly what's happening, why it's happening, and how bad it is. But the fact that the stock market's been going down the way it has been, and the fact that there has yet to be liquidity that's flowing into flight to safety assets. I mean, I was watching it yesterday. I mean, you had a big down day and treasury prices were down. So even treasuries were now prices are back up today. Well, the 30-year is down. So, even treasuries were being liquidated yesterday to raise liquidity.
And Dave, today, 7 o'clock my time this morning, when the futures finally locked after being really close all night long, when they finally locked limit down, that's all of a sudden gold was hit for $20. And then when the stock market finally opened and the futures locked up again 5 minutes later, again, here's another $20, which again, it reeks of just outright liquidation panic. Like you said, you're not seeing the safe haven bid yet.
Right. And, like they lock the stock market, so hedge funds know they're going to get margin calls at the end of the day, and they can't sell stock. So, oh, we still have that. We're over the skis on gold contracts. Let's start dumping those. Interestingly, as we've been talking, gold's just popped $20.
I noticed that right before we started talking, it was about 17 off the lows. Is it now what? More than
It's
that?
a 15, the future, the front month futures contract is at 1595.
Okay, so that's 25. And the stock market hasn't got the S&P futures aren't any better, are they? I should look myself,
No,
but
no, the Dow's rallying too. Something
okay.
something's caused, a bounce
All
here.
right, you keep talking, and as you talk, hey, we're doing, we're live on air, if you will. I'll look while you talk,
I'm
because
going to take
again,
credit for this.
my New York Fed to conduct a $1 trillion repo over 2 days to stabilize treasury financing market. That's the headline at Zero Hedge.
There you
New York
go.
Fed to, a $1 trillion repo over 2 days to stabilize treasury financing market. So that sounds like a big
No, they're doing
Band-Aid.
that. This is the same thing that they did in 2008. They're dumping money into the system because subprime and near subprime credit assets are melting down.
Okay, so on that spike, I'll just tell everybody and tell you, I get, as well as we look at this, the S&P futures, as recently as just a few minutes ago, were down 100 and, well, we were at just above 2,500, 2,502. We're now 2,582, just a couple of minutes later. So we'll see how that, it'll be interesting to see if now those bids get hit.
Well, when, literally just 2 minutes ago, the Dow went from down 2,000 to down 12, or yeah, to down 1,200. Now it's back down 1,500.
Yeah.
So.
Well, okay, let's go from there then, because here I don't want to be, I don't want to turn this into totally doom and gloom and outrageous, Mad Max kind of stuff, but I don't know. I've never really had a handle on how close things were to really seizing up in 2008. You know, I mean, my friend John Titus has done those research things where he, you know, Bernanke and Paulson go to Congress and basically lied, saying that Main Street was having a problem, and so therefore we need our $700 billion. No, it was just Wall Street problem. So how close were we then? Well, okay, how close are we now because of the interconnectedness? You know, it's not just the financial stocks, you know, it's the corporate bond market, the high yield bond market, you know, industries like the shale industry, and how, you know, even just one sector of the bond market this corporate financing, if it all seizes up, what's the way out?
Well, they showed us the way out in 2008, 2009. They printed what, $4 trillion and gave it to the banks and used part of that to fund treasury issuance.
Is that what it's going to take this time? Is it going to
take $8 trillion? There was a lot more than that going behind the scenes. I mean, it sounds like at one point between Fed credit lines and direct off the book subsidies from the Fed, it was closer to $25 trillion.
So is it going to be $100 trillion this time?
Well, whatever, you know. The dynamic that the market forces that caused 2008 to happen, the same market forces are causing this to happen, and they're probably five times larger than they were in 2008. You know, and the run-up that we had in the stock market reflects that. I mean, it seemed like for almost a year straight, the stock market was doing nothing but going up every day.
Right.
And the last 3 months of it before it peaked seemed like the Dow was going up 100, 200 points a day.
Every day.
And that's just, you know, that's just abject, reckless, drunken speculation where everyone thought that this goes one way, and it allowed hedge funds and banks to lever up even more.
What do you think we watch, Dave? I mean, we're day by day. You know, I compare it to what's happened in the sports world in the last 48 hours, you know, where it was first talked about, well, maybe reporters aren't going to be able to be in the locker room of these sports teams, to now the NBA season is basically canceled. The conference tournaments are canceled. The NCAA tournament's going to be canceled. I mean, this is all stuff we couldn't have foreseen 2 days ago, or thought it sounded crazy 2 days ago. So God knows what would be by tomorrow or Monday. But what do you think we need? I mean,
the thing about the coronavirus is, It's not the cause of all this, although that'll be, you know, what the propagandists want us to believe. The coronavirus was just the pin that pricked the bubble. Yeah. I mean, if we didn't have all this reckless leverage and abject speculation and fraud and corruption going on behind the scenes, you know, our financial system would have been able to weather something like the coronavirus a lot better than it is right now. But everything is, well, think of Eggster's pyramid, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, the top, you know, the top part where you got like the most speculative garbage is even bigger in proportion to the bottom section, which is gold, than it was when Eggster drew it. You know what I mean? You know, I think David Stockman wrote a great article. I don't know if you've read it. It's posted for free on LouRockwell.com. I think Zero Hedge might have posted it. And he said it the best. He said the coronavirus is now exposing a far more deadly disease, namely the poisonous brew of easy money, cheap debt, sweeping financialization, and unbridled speculation that has been injected into the American economy by the Fed and the Washington politicians. Mm-hmm. And that, to me, sums it up the best.
Yeah, no, that's right.
And what's happening here?
So, Dave, I don't know. It's hard to have discussions like this, and I'm struggling with this on my site. It's hard to have discussions like this without feeling like you're giving investment advice, right? Because
me,
yeah.
Oh, right?
For me, it is because I mean that's not my job, and
right.
And so I just try to tell people what I am doing personally, and I encourage everybody to do their own personal self-assessment and decide what to do from there. You know, because, you know, where I feel like I can, okay, screw it. I can, you know, I'll watch this go for another 50% down because, you know, the only experience I have coming out of these things recently is then, man, it comes out on steroids, right? if they really do create $25 trillion in cash again, and all of a sudden this storm of this virus passes, holy crap, watch out as all that money goes flowing back in, right? And so I'm willing to wait that out. I don't know what, again, without saying, here's what you should do, why don't you tell everybody what they should do?
You know, again, for me, the closest parallel to what we're seeing right now is 2008. And when they came out and announced the initial money printing programs and the TARP program, the stock market rallied, gold and silver and the mining stocks started rallying before the stock market stabilized and moved higher. And between like early November and December 31st, the Huey index doubled. It went from 150 to 300.
Yeah.
And if the Fed's gonna, $1 trillion over 2 days is massive. And to me, it shows a willingness by the Fed to print trillions more. And they're going to have to, because, like I said, the scale of what's happening now is probably five times larger than it was in 2008. Maybe not five times, two, three, four times, whatever it is. It's way worse than 2008. So they're going to have to print a lot more money. Yeah. And I personally would not go along the general stock market on the anticipation that the Fed's going to print enough money to drive it higher again, like it did in 2009, in 2010. Other than just holding cash, or, if you understand the reasons why to buy gold and silver, take your cash out of the system and buy gold and silver. I think you should at least have, or that's what I'm doing, is pull cash out, and I'm leaving cash in a drawer and adding to gold and silver positions. And then if you want to speculate on massive money printing, buy the mining shares. But the underlying businesses of lot of the stock market companies, the NYSE companies, their businesses are going to be obliterated by this coronavirus, at least temporarily. So, uh-huh. I was just doing some math yesterday. And if you look at historically where bear markets bottom, the PE ratio on the S&P 500 is 10 or lower. Right. Now, it didn't get that low in 2009 because the Fed bailed it out. The Fed printed money and stopped it from falling. But if you just said, okay, the S&P could, based on the trailing 12-month earnings of the S&P, and the next 12 months earnings for the S&P is going to be lower than the last 12 months, but just use the trailing 12-month earnings, and you put a 10 PE on that. The 12-month trailing earnings was $133 per share for the S&P 500. You put a 10 PE on that, that gets you to $13.30 for the S&P. So that's basically another 50% down from here.
Yep.
So, and again, if the Fed's gonna go Weimar with the printing press, we probably won't get that low. But between 2007 at the top and March 2009 at the bottom, the S&P dropped, roughly 0.4, I think. So if you had that kind of drop from the top, to say the PE rate, or just that type of percentage drop, then you're, and again, I'm just doing this off the top of my head. I calculated these numbers last night, and I don't have them in front of me, but that would take a 50% drop from the top in the S&P would take the S&P down to 1660.
Yeah.
So, and right now the S&P is bounced up to 2631. So, I guess my point is here, I wouldn't be inclined to chase the stock market on Fed printing unless you're going to use mining shares.
Yeah. Yeah. And like you said, I think it's, I don't want to say safe to assume, because this is all, again, so all unprecedented. But once rationality, is that a word, returns?
Yeah.
Rational thinking returns. Again, if we do have examples, because we don't have examples necessarily in a way down or how economies cope and all that stuff with something like this, but we do have examples of the way out and how it's happened in the past. And you get that rational thinking to return, and these trillions of dollars have been created. I you sure would think that there'd be a pretty decent rally coming in everything, because he's, you know, from a low. But man, oh man, the shares and the metals, and I mean, God only knows what this could do to the metals market. You know, Dave, I mean, we should probably mention, it is pretty convenient that all this hedge fund liquidation, when they sell, the commercials are buying back shorts.
Yes.
That's pretty handy.
Right. And that's one of the reasons gold has a bid, is because of the massive short interest from the banks.
Yeah. I mean, they're there bidding, and when they buy, they're closing out their shorts. So it is rather convenient for them that ahead of all of this massive money printing that is undoubtedly, I mean, 100% guaranteed to come, because there's no other remedy that the central banks can provide, it is pretty handy that price is getting washed out like this and allowing the banks to cover. Interesting how that works.
Well, and you know what? For them, it's a source of profits to offset losses in a lot of the other parts, right, of the bank portfolios. Leverage loans. There's no bid for leverage loans right now. Any kind of trading desk positions in junk bonds. There's no bid out there for that. There's no liquidity. They're going to have to write them down at the end of the quarter. So this, you know, they're going to, you know, the banks that are covering their shorts as the hedge fund sell their gold contracts, you know, they're booking big profits on that right now.
No doubt. That's one way to get the cash out of the excess reserves. Take it back from the Fed and use it to write everything off. We finally fixed that problem. Dave, this is one thing I wanted to ask you about. So we're going to end with this, because again, my goal, and I told Dave before we started, I said, we could talk for hours, but most people listening to us don't have hours. And I didn't want to scare anybody away by going, holy, I don't have an hour to listen to this crap. I got to get to Costco. So we're deliberately trying to keep this short. Next week is the FOMC. What do you think? That was a question. A really good question, huh? Really well worded.
I don't know. I mean,
can we get press credentials and go to the press conference, you think, you and I? That'd be fun.
Oh, would you really want to? I don't even listen to it when it's on TV.
You might want to next week.
The Cliff's Notes. I mean, the 3-month Treasury is trading at 0.31%, and that would suggest that the bond market is telling the Fed we need another 75 basis points of an interest rate cut, or that's what we want right now anyway. I think we're beyond the point at which interest rate cuts are going to do anything. I do think, and I don't know if it'll be at the meeting next week, I think they're going to roll out just a wrath of God money printing program.
Right.
I think that's what it's going to take to stabilize the financial system. But, you know, I'll tell you what's getting lost in all of this, because there's a lot of people, like, imagine the guys working who are workers on Royal Caribbean. You know, they earn $1,500, $2,000 a week. They don't have any savings. They've got credit card debt. They've got a rent payment due or a small mortgage, you know, a mortgage payment on a small house. You know, what are they going to do when they can't work because Royal Caribbean ships are shut down for the time being? You know, one thing that I've noticed is that, you know, everyone, the Kramers of the world and, you know, everybody who only knows how to trade in a market when it's going up, they're all screaming for Fed intervention. They want the government to do something. They want businesses bailed out. No one's proposed anything to help the poor guys who are living hand to mouth and now all of a sudden can't go to work because of this virus scare.
Right.
And that's what'll be interesting to watch, because I will guarantee you they'll Trump will do something that'll get him votes, like, you know, they'll do a short term moratorium on payroll taxes. So you're going to have a slightly higher payroll, you know, a slightly higher paycheck every 2 weeks if you still have your job. But the bulk of the money that's going to be printed up is going to be given to the banks again.
Right. Right. I shouldn't say I wish they should do this because if it's so irresponsible, but doesn't it almost have to be helicopter money? And what I mean by that is, I mean, wouldn't a prudent I mean, because the banks can't have underperforming loans and credit cards and all that stuff either. They need the middle income, lower income people to continue to service their debts and pay their rents and all that kind of stuff. I mean, like I said, no one's ever been a fan of this idea of a helicopter money, but I mean, it almost seems logical that they'd formulate some kind of plan that says, you know, based on your tax return last year, you showing income of only, you know, whatever, what the threshold might be, you're getting a check for $2,000. I mean, you can almost see something like that as well.
I didn't really think about it, but you're absolutely right. And we very well could see helicopter money. And again, if we see helicopter money, you know, gold at 1604 right now, if they start rolling out helicopter money, and again, that's what they would have to do, is mail checks to people so they can pay their bills. It would be like infinitesimal compared to what they're going to give the banks and throw into the financial system to try and prop the stock market up. But if we start to see that degree of money printing and currency devaluation, you know, we're looking at gold as 1601, the front month futures contract. You know, we're going to see 2000 gold very quickly.
Yeah, I'm just sitting here thinking to myself, Dave, you had 50 million people get $2,000 each. Is that $100 billion?
Make me do that math. I'm tired.
50 million, 100 million. Yeah, that's right. It'd be $100 billion. Well, yeah, hell's bells. They're going to flush that shit, 20 times that at the banks.
Exactly. Well, they already have. They just announced 10 times that amount for 2-day repo or whatever it is. I didn't read the details of the article, but and that'll be rolled forward. I mean, the $1 trillion the Fed's printing up right now to give to the banks is, that's just for starters.
Right. So, Dave, if we leave it here then, provided we're not, you know, heading into Mad Max, you know, zombie apocalypse type stuff. And I don't think we are. We're headed to stressed emergency rooms, you know, and that kind of thing. But as most, you know, as everybody knows, most people are going to survive from a health standpoint. All of that stuff is true. And you've got to be prepared to self-quarantine and stay at home and do your role in not perpetuating the spread of the virus. So if it is true that we eventually come out the other side of this, all of these steps that you and I have discussed here at the back half of this podcast, I mean, I don't think it's irrational to think that precious metal prices, even those derived by the trading of derivatives, are going to be climbing. And so I guess maybe that's where we leave it, Dave, is for people just to assess where we've been, understand. I mean, there's a lot of moving parts to this. It's not just, you know, just blind dumping of stocks by people that are in a panic. There's a reason why it's happening. And then to begin to think rationally going forward about, you know, a couple of chess moves ahead down the board where this might go. Would that be, I don't know, is that a good summation?
It's a great summation. I mean, again, I think a model to use is 2000, you know, gold went from 700 to 1900 in the space of a little less than 3 years.
Yeah.
You know, silver went from $7 to $49 in the space of about 2.5 years. So, you know, I think we'll see something like that again, only the numbers will be a lot larger and the percentage gains will be a lot larger because the scope and the scale of the problem is a lot larger, which means they're going to have to print a lot more money than they did the first time around if they want to try and facilitate systemic continuity.
And like a lot of things, it's going to move a lot faster too.
Everything else
is sped up. That recovery, that move won't take 2.5 years either.
No, I agree.
All right, Dave. I don't want to pester you. Cause, I mean, you're a busy guy anyway. But I have a sneaky feeling we may have to do this again before too long. So we'll just stay on top of it. And I just really value your time and your input because it's just so helpful for people to hear. Again, kind of a rational discussion of what's really happening, and then how you might be able to manage yourself going forward. My friend, all the best. Keep washing your hands.
Likewise, same to you, Craig. And you know what? You're doing a service because you're putting together conversations like this, and you're not going to see this on CNBC or Fox Business or Bloomberg. you'll never see anything or hear anything like the types of truths and realities that you're putting out there for anyone to look at.
Well, I appreciate that. This will be a public thread. So anybody that, if you're listening to this, take the link and forward it to whomever you think it might help. It's, you know, the least we can do is make sure we try to help as many people as we can. Dave, hang in there.
Thanks, you too.
We'll be in touch, and I hope this doesn't impact tennis season.
It already has. They canceled Indian Wells, for God's
Well, you
sakes.
can't have all these people going into the old folks' home called Palm Desert. You got to be careful out there. So anyway, all the best, my friend. We'll be in touch.
Likewise.
All right. Thank everyone for listening. Again, please prepare, be rational, use your time wisely, and we'll get through this together.